In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we're going to continue our study of the prophets to Israel. Now, this is both to the 10 tribes to the north and the 2 tribes to the south. It's a series of Sunday school lessons that was prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of 1927. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson about Isaiah, the prophet, prepared for the Sunday schools of November the 27th, 1927. You may want to get your Bible and turn to the book of Isaiah and follow along with me. We're going to begin in chapter 1, and we'll start this morning at verse 4. Now, before we go there, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And you, by listening to the program, are a student in this school. And so, class, let's get our lesson book opened to the book of Isaiah. I'm going to be reading from the American Standard Version, Isaiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that deal corruptly. They have forsaken Jehovah. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are estranged and gone backward. Why will ye be still stricken, that ye may revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint, from the sole of the foot even unto the head. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and fresh stripes. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with oil. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except Jehovah of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom. We should have been like unto Gomorrah. Let me read from Elam's notes. He writes, this was a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that deal corruptly. They were children of bad parents, and were worse than their parents. They draw iniquity with cords of falsehood, and sin as it were a cart rope, Isaiah 5 and verse 18. Sin, and not righteousness, is that which they haul about. John the Baptist said to the Pharisees and Sadducees, ye all spring of vipers, Matthew 3 and verse 7. They were children that deal corruptly against God, and not keeping His commandments, who had corrupted themselves with idols. They had forsaken Jehovah. In their disobedience and transgression, they had turned away from God. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. God is just, righteous, and holy. And in the highest sense of these terms, He has dealt with His people, but they had despised Him. They are estranged and gone backward. Not only had they disobeyed and forsaken God, they had become alienated and had gone backward from Him. They had been stricken, that is, they were chastened for their sins, like a criminal had been whipped on every part of the body until the whole head was sick and the whole heart was faint. Were they still revolting because they desired to be still further stricken? Greater chastisement would come upon them if they continued in their sin. The country was desolate. The cities had been burned, and strangers had overthrown and devoured the land. Isaiah saw the city besieged and left desolate, as a booth in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers. A booth in a vineyard is a shelter of boughs or straw or something similar, used for a short time while the fruit is ripening, by watchmen who protect and gather it. A lodge in a garden of cucumbers is a similar construction of rude materials for the same purpose, soon to fall into decay. This was a figure of the ruined condition of Jerusalem. And Isaiah said, if it hadn't been for the Lord, you'd been like Sodom and Gomorrah. Here it is in verse 9 and 10. He says, except Jehovah of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been likened to Gomorrah. And then the prophet says this in Isaiah 1:10, hear the word of Jehovah, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah had been totally destroyed. Only Lot and his two daughters had escaped from Sodom. Judah would have been as totally destroyed had not God left a remnant. This remnant is frequently mentioned by Isaiah. Paul quotes this in Romans 9 and verse 29. In Paul's day, the remnant was still left. This remnant is the faithful few who have clung to God and obeyed Him in the midst of idolatry, sin, and corruption. Isaiah then addresses the rulers of Judah and the people as rulers of Sodom and the people of Gomorrah. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 9. Ezekiel would follow Isaiah in prophecy, and he would call Jerusalem a sister of Sodom, Samaria, and of other evil ones in Ezekiel 18, verses 44 through 52. Well, we read in Isaiah chapter 1, 11 through 15, what unto me is the multitude of your sacrifices, saith Jehovah? I have had enough of the burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. The iniquity and the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I am weary of bearing them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. In these verses, God declares that all their sacrifices, public feasts, incense, and prayers were an abomination unto Him, because they oppressed the poor, the widow, and the fatherless, and their hands were full of blood. These sacrifices and prayers were offered in a perfunctory and heartless manner. God required sacrifices, incense, prayers, and the observance of annual feast, but all must be done in the right spirit and in submission to God. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to Jehovah. But the prayer of the upright is his delight, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. Psalm 51, 16 and 17 says, "For thou delightest not in sacrifices, else I would give it. Thou hast no pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." And as Isaiah 66 and verse 2, the prophet says, "But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word." We read in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek justice, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plea for the widow." With all the foregoing solemn reproof and warning before the people, Isaiah then exhorted them to repent. He doubtless preached to the people in the days of their public assemblies. "Wash you and make you clean" are figurative expressions. Jeremiah 14 and 4 says, "O Jerusalem, wash thy heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved." David says in Psalm 26 and verse 6, "I will wash my hands in innocency, and so will I compass thine altar, O Jehovah." This figure may have been drawn from the legal washings demanded on different occasions, like we read about in Leviticus chapter 14. They had some part to perform in making themselves clean. Their part, as the prophet declares, without use of figurative language, was to repent of their sins. They were not only to cease to do evil, but were to obey God and, in as far as possible, right the wrongs they had done. Paul, in penitence and prayer, washed away his sins when he arose and was baptized in obedience to God. Acts 22:16. And that is why Ananias told him there, "Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." To wash away their sins and to cleanse themselves meant to do what God required to be done in order to be pardoned or saved from sins. They were to put away their sins, repent, and turn away from sin, and cease to do evil. But they were to do more. They were to learn to do well. They had done evil so long that they would again have to learn to do well. The things they were to do are as follows. Seek justice, which means deal justly and righteously with all, no longer oppress any, but on the other hand, relieve the oppressed. Redress the wrongs they had done others. Judge the fatherless. We see that judges from Isaiah 1:23, they had taken bribes and had not judged the fatherless and heard the case of the widow and were called champions of thieves. They must see that the fatherless have justice and they must plea for the widow. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation, Psalm 68 and verse 5. He has always made provision for the fatherless and widows and made the proper treatment of them a test of true religion. James 1 and verse 27. Now before one repents, he must see the exceeding sinfulness of sin with its terrible consequences and realize it's awful, loathsome, and abominate it. So long as sin is seen in a light manner with people, they will not put it away and cease to do evil. We repent of our sins and turn from them by putting them away and obeying God from the heart. And he forgives, pardons, and saves. It's true that everyone who repents desires and strives to do right in all the wrongs he has ever done.